This is gonna be some spoiler-filled review, y'all. Yeah, I tried.
Think of all the roads, think of all the crossings. Taking steps is easy, standing still is hard.
Hello, queers. Welcome to Movies a la Queer. This is Sarita Ramirez, and I just finished for the third time watching this season of Orange is the New Black. So this is a spoiler review. So if you have not finished watching the series, stop this show and go back to my non-spoiler review show, which is available below this show on moviesalaqueer.podbean.com. But if you're like me, who often watches or listens to spoiled reviews anyway, then just feel free to watch both. I mean, hey, you're doing us both a favor. So last season, we saw Piper practically killing Pennsylvania, and I was one of those who thought that she was gone. I'm not going to lie, but I was pleasantly surprised to see her return. And with jacked up teeth. I'm sorry, that non-toothy smile had me dying. But I want to talk about so many things, and I know I'll drag on forever. So I kind of broke it down into the best that I can talk about, but I can also make it worthwhile to listen to. So, hey. Now, my favorite characters, starting with Tasty. Now, you really got to give it to her vulnerability in this season. I got the feeling that she was a foster child, you know, from how lost she was in the first season. And season two kind of confirmed it for me. She didn't really have anything, but you can tell that she wanted a family. And that was what linked her to V. The feeling of family and wanting to, you know, be loved. Now we have Mendoza, which I found comfort in seeing Mendoza's story. I mean, she was a deli slash bodega owner. And my family also used to own a bodega. If you don't know what a bodega is, it's like a little mini grocery store in the neighborhood. So it just hit so close to home. Like, I was going to walk into a bodega in my neighborhood at the Bronx and just see her. Oh, hey. Now, when it comes to Morello, oh, man, I think her storyline was my favorite out of all. I mean, she's crazy. And I almost have no words because you can't help but feel bad for her. Bad for her that she has this problem with understanding that barrier of what's reality and fantasy, if I made any sense with that. I mean, I am no psych major. Now we have Crazy Eyes. There's a similarity with Tasty and Crazy Eyes in their wanting to receive love and affection. Warren, aka Crazy Eyes, however, is more open to display it as she was adopted from her family. You know, she had a family. While Tasty never found a home other than V's. You know, Warren kind of lacked the independence, you could say, that Tasty gained in her solitude. I think that's why it was so easy to manipulate Warren. Not for lack of intelligence, but the wanting to be understood and loved and cared for and kind of always having it in a way. That is something that, you know, Tasty never had. And she kind of, you know, kind of grew a thick wall because of it, which helped her out. Now there's Poussey. I mean, you really got to get a deeper look into her character, which I found very appealing. But, you know, who would have thought she was an army kid growing up in Germany? I mean, although we don't know exactly what landed her in jail, it was still interesting to see the dynamic of her character. Someone who found love, knows what love is and accepts it, and she has a tough exterior, and she still knows what's right from what's wrong, you know, but she's also a little, you know, she has to be a little messed up, otherwise she wouldn't be in jail. Oh man, this season was kind of like, the more you think about it, the more you love it, and the more you watch it, the more you like it, and the more you like it, the more you love it. I mean, you kind of remember little things you put in the back of your head, and my rewatching rating for this is very high, obviously, because I've seen it probably a couple millions of times. Well, I've seen it enough. Okay, my only complaints were that there were just some episodes that not much happened, or that as they were supporting the storylines of the nun, for example, they were pretty flaccid for the rest of the scenes, which stood kind of at a standstill. I mean, at the end, I felt satisfied, definitely, but I didn't feel as though the season covered enough bases and kind of gave me a, you know, a bigger cliffhanger. Like, it was a good ending. I mean, who wouldn't want the bitch to die? But at the same time, I just kind of wish that there was more. Oh, and some more Alex and Piper stuff would have been great. You know, at least Larry is out of the way. Hey. For those that watched this season, do you think that V's ending was the best ending that could have happened to her? I mean, I kind of am glad that she's dead, even though I shouldn't wish this upon anyone, but in the character fiction TV world-wise, I am glad she was run over by Rosa, and I loved Rosa. So, I'm not sad to see the bitch go, but I'd love to know what you thought about the ending. Now, Orange is the New Black is up and running on Netflix, and the link of it is obviously below. If you don't know what Netflix is, I suggest you kind of open your eyes and open the browser once in a while. Netflix.com. Search up Orange, and there you go. It's the best. So, thanks guys for all the love and the listening. Again, I apologize for not being able to upload a video. It's kind of been a really, really crazy couple of weeks and months at that. Kind of a big life transition that I will talk about in my next show, which is going to talk about more deeper relationship stuff if you want to listen to it. But that wraps up this episode of Movies a la Queer. If you guys loved more or would like to request, send me an email at moviesalaqueer@gmail.com. And if not, you can also tweet me at moviesalaqueer, or you can tweet my personal Twitter at Sarita M. Ramirez. So thank you very much. Have a beautiful day, queers. I love you all, and I will talk to you soon. Bye.